Welcome everyone to our call today. My name is Jason Darling, Vice President, National Sales at Lysander Funds. In light of RBC's recent new AT1 limited recourse capital note, which I'm going to refer to them as LRCNs, we've been getting the same question from investment advisors from across the country. The question is simply this: what impact could these new notes potentially have on the preferred share market going forward? And I could not think of anyone better to address this question than Doug Grieve, founder, president, and portfolio manager of Slater Asset Management. Doug, welcome to the call today.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Many of you know Doug has 25 years experience in the preferred share market space in Canada, both as an institutional trader and PM. With that, Doug, in the history of the preferred share market in Canada, has there ever been a regulatory change that has had big of a potential impact on the preferred share market more than the latest advent of the LRCN?
I think, Jason, I think it is. It's probably the biggest. It's a game changer for sure. We've had regulatory changes in the preferred share space that's been a positive for preferred shares, but this time around, we're coming from a low base. So I think this is a situation where we could see the future of preferred shares getting smaller permanently. So those two things combined with what actually is going on, I think this is the biggest change. This is a true game changer.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a monumental change for the preferred share market. And it's one that investment advisors who invest in preferred shares have to be aware of. Doug, before we go after the big question about the future impact of these LRCNs on the preferred share market, let's just take a step back. What are LRCNs?
Well, I try and keep it in simple terms, but for the banks, an LRCN is an equity financing, and it's a financing that qualifies as AT1 equity, additional tier one equity. So historically, banks need to maintain equity levels, to have a healthy balance sheet and to be viable. So from time to time, they need to issue tier one equity. And historically, the way they've done it is issuing common stock, but they don't like to do that because it's dilutive for the common shareholder. The other avenue has historically certainly has been preferred shares. But today, preferred shares are oversold. Some people have argued that they're broken. And they're really expensive to issue preferred shares. So these LRCNs are notes that are a third avenue for tier one equity financing. So it's pretty exciting. And what's key about them is that they're considerably cheaper than the preferred shares to issue.
Interesting. Why do they call it LRCN? It might not be intuitive to most investors.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because it's limited recourse. So if the bank is a going concern, and it's limited recourse, is that a good thing? It doesn't sound so good. For example, senior debt. If the bank was insolvent, there would be entitlements to assets. So you'd get your principal back or part of your principal back for your bond investment. With a limited recourse note, if it's a going concern, I'm not sure there's much recourse at all, to be honest. In the simplest sense, your note will convert into a fixed reset preferred share, specifically an NBCC fixed reset preferred share, that ultimately could mean you just end up with common stock of the underlying bank, which, as we know, if it's insolvent, it may have no value at all.
So limited recourse is maybe just a little bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky wording, but it's a great question because I think people need to be aware that, Royal Bank did the first note and that's a strong credit, but you want to understand what you're owning and it's complicated.
For sure. Well, let's talk about the first note that was done by RBC. What were some of the details around it?
So, it's interesting, like a typical preferred share issuance would be 2, 3, maybe 4, even 500 million in size. This note was 1.75 billion in size, and it came with a 4.5% coupon. Now, the way these notes work, it's very similar to a fixed reset preferred share. They reset every 5 years. This one will reset with a spread. They will all have a spread. This spread is a 413.7 basis point spread over the 5-year bond yield. So in 5 years, it'll give you a new coupon based on that formula and where the 5-year bond yield goes at that time. But this specific deal had over $5 billion of interest. These notes are designed to go to institutional bondholders, not retail. So that's interesting. There was 20 foreign buyers. But in the world of bond land, these notes look attractive and cheap. And so the appetite is tremendously strong.
Yeah. How much demand was there overall, or how many institutions?
So over $5 billion, they had over 100 different institutional buyers, and 20 of them were foreign.
Now, were you surprised at that type of demand for that, an issue like that?
Yeah. So I'm not a bond guy, but yeah, I mean, that's telling me that, you know, yield is scarce out there. And if you can, you know, put together an equity type note that's packaged up like a bond, and you put a 4.5 coupon on it that resets, so even if interest rates go higher, there's tremendous appetite. I didn't know it was that strong. Yeah. It's amazing.
Now, Doug, let's get to the big question that we've been getting from investment advisors. What do you think the impact of these notes could potentially have on the preferred share market going forward?
Yeah, so it's a game changer. I said that right at the top. I do think it is a game changer. And I like to break it down into three different things. First of all, as a preferred share investor, we've had a tough 5 years on and off. For the most part, it's been illiquid, and we've had a bear market for yield. Interest rates have gone lower and lower and lower. And with the preferred share market being 2/3 fixed resets, lower yields, you know, government yields lower and lower, just means we're going to reset with a smaller coupon. And that's put them out of favor. And I would argue that put them out of favor too much, and they were actually quite cheap. So with the introduction of these notes, which are essentially, if you look under the hood, they're the same as a fixed reset preferred share. In fact, they're the same, but they're offering interest income, so they can pay it out pre-tax, as opposed to the preferred shares that pay dividend income, so it's after tax, which is, you know, obviously more challenging, more expensive for them to issue. So what's happened is, because this has gone to the bond market repackage, and they recognize great value. In some ways, the bond market's much more efficient than the preferred share market. It has kind of woken up the preferred share investor and saying, "Hey, look, if the bond market likes this, essentially the same product, and they're issuing it at a cheaper price, ours, we get dividend income, bigger coupon, these must be undervalued." So the first thing that these things have done is told us and that there's a market demand for this product, and the underlying preferred shares are super cheap. And then on the announcement of the Royal Bank deal, some of the bank fixed reset preferred shares really started to move. And to be honest, they've been moving for a month now. It's tremendous. The other thing to really consider is, not only has the value been unleashed, but one of the knocks on preferred shares is, whenever the preferred share market rallies, the banks just issue more and more preferred shares, and it knocks us back down. Well, this time around, I don't think that's going to happen. You're going to see, instead of them coming with more preferred shares, they're just going to keep issuing these new LRCN notes. So that's a positive. And I'll take it one step further. They're going to start issuing these notes, and they're actually going to start redeeming the preferred shares. So as we know, when you get supply taken away with something that's undervalued, that the recognition of value is going to unfold, because people need to replace the product. It's just that simple. Interestingly enough, today we had 6 Royal Bank preferred shares called in, and the total market cap value of that redemption is $1.75 billion, which matches the linked note that we saw come a month ago. So that's one bank doing that. We think all the banks are going to do this, and it's going to shrink the preferred share market and take away the best ones, which just means the ones that are trading at lower prices are going to just continue to appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, if I can't help to think, if I was a CFO of a bank-owned firm and I wanted to raise capital in the most tax-efficient way, this is the way to do it. And not only that, this is a better way to retire some of my more expensive debt that's out there.
Absolutely. And it's just getting started. We're going to see some of these, you know, bank resets coming up to their reset date, which means they can be called in, and they feel that they can issue the notes cheaper, which at this stage they can. They're just going to keep calling them in.
So not only are we going to get less new issues out there, we might get 0 new issues out there, at least from the banks for now, but they're also be calling in what's already outstanding, which we've seen today.
That's right. And the market's up 1.5% today. Wow. Just with that announcement. So it's like a drip of positive news that we're just going to keep getting. And so as a PM, you know, seeing the appreciation of what I think an asset class that's been undervalued, it's very rewarding for me.
Now, everyone's been talking about the banks issuing these notes. What about other industries issuing these same type of notes?
I think it's on the table, especially for the insurance companies, the non-bank financials. I think they're in the wording of the OSFI's letter introducing these notes, it suggests that, you know, insurance companies will have their time in the sun as well, being able to issue their a note equivalent. So you could have the similar phenomenon, not just with banks, but some of the insurance companies doing the same thing. And they'll be taking out the insurance fixed reset preferred shares or perpetuals. So the phenomenon could just really keep on going.
Right. You know, and I think that's why this potentially has such a big impact on the preferred share market, in particular for Canadians that look to preferred shares for income, when this market could get smaller and smaller and smaller as we start going along here. You know, with this advent of these new notes, does this change the way, as a portfolio manager, you look at the preferred share market?
It does. Obviously, I mean, I want to clarify one thing, certainly. When I started this over 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the preferred share market was 25 to 30 billion in size. Today, it's over 75 billion. So it's shrinking sort of 10, 15 billion. Doesn't mean the preferred share market's going away. It's not going away, but it's getting cleaned up and it's going to be more efficient. So that's what the market's needed, and that's what it looks like it's going to deliver, which is super exciting. As a PM in the space, I will be losing product, so I have to anticipate what preferred shares I think will be called in, and I have to be ready to replace that with preferred shares that I think are still offering great value. And as I do that process, I have to be issue by issue specific, making sure I'm finding best value as we go on this, you know, really on this positive run here.
Well, thanks for that, Doug. You know, I really appreciate you taking time in your busy schedule and joining us today, talking about these LRCNs. I also want to thank everyone for listening on the call today. We really appreciate your time. And we certainly appreciate your support. If you do have any questions about any of the Lysander funds, please feel reach out to a member of the sales team at 1-877-308-6979. This will conclude today's call on LRCNs. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Jason.
This audio update was recorded Wednesday, August 26, 2020. This audio update was given by Jason Darling, Vice President, National Sales, Lysander Funds Limited, and Doug Grieve, Founder, President, and Portfolio Manager, Slater Asset Management, Inc. This presentation by Lysander and Slater is solely for information purposes. It is not intended to constitute legal, tax, securities, or investment advice. Neither Lysander nor Slater make any warranty or representation regarding the information which is subject to change without notice. Neither Lysander nor Slater assume any duty to update any information herein. Lysander is the investment fund manager of the Lysander Funds. Slater is the portfolio manager of Lysander Slater Preferred Share Dividend Fund and Lysander Slater Preferred Share Active ETF. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Nothing in this presentation should be considered a recommendation to buy, sell, or short a particular security. Any specific securities, positions, or commentary is intended as an illustration of Slater's selection process. Slater may sell these positions at any time or purchase positions that have been previously sold. The positions may increase or decrease in value in the future. The presentation may contain forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements are subject to important risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from current expectations. While Lysander and Slater consider these risks and uncertainties to be reasonable based on the information currently available, they may prove to be incorrect. Lysander Funds is a registered trademark of Lysander Funds Limited.